Best Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. Now here's your hosts, Robin Bailey and Al McDonald.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. I'm your host, Robin Bailey, back at it again with my co-host, Al McDonald. Al, excited to be here again, another podcast Friday.
Yeah, always exciting days, and it's always good to have conversations, great conversations with our guests. I think today will be no exception, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Good stuff. Well, I love meeting new people, and recently I met someone new, and Al, you know when you meet someone and you just click instantly and the conversation is effortless? That is what happened with our guest today. So I'm thrilled to welcome Jessica Chalk, founder of Mystoria. And I got to give a big thank you to someone out there because we get these great introductions and again, have these great conversations like I did with Jessica. And I want to give a shout out to Caitlin McGregor at Plum for connecting us because this is just one of my favorite things to do. And if you haven't listened to Caitlin's episode, please go back and listen to it. She is just brilliant and it's such a good episode. Jessica, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I very purposefully didn't describe your company in your bio because I wanted our audience to hear it from you because I think you'll do a better job of describing it. But I thought where we could start with this is, you know, you and I had that really great first chat and you were very open. And I think you're very open in general about your own fertility journey. Can you talk to us a little bit about what your company is? And then at what point and how did you come up and say, hey, I need to build Mystoria?
Yeah. If you're okay with it, I'll start kind of from the beginning of how everything came to be, just because my journey as a patient really plays into why Mystoria exists. I've been through a really long fertility journey, many years. We went to clinics in both Canada and the US, spent over $100,000 on just trying to have a baby. In 2023, I ended up just had enough and walked away. My husband and I had a conversation and just, you know, it takes over your life. It is all you think about. It's all you can do. You change every aspect of your life, the things you love, you don't do as much. So I just like felt like I lost myself quite a bit there. And, you know, it's hard on a relationship and we had just had enough. So walked away. But at the same time, I was running my previous business and I had this moment of like throughout my journey, specific parts of the process of trying to navigate your fertility journey, trying to like understand what the best options for you, what you're spending money on, are your diagnosis correct? As a patient, you're just, your brain's constantly going and constantly trying to figure out, is this the right path for me? Will this work? Is this symptom okay? Is it not okay? And I'm talking a lot about fertility, but I can imagine a lot of people can relate to this with any sort of chronic illness or diagnosis. The feeling of trying to solve your own problem is very, very apparent. So I just had this thought process, having kind of been in the tech community for the last 10 years before that, was why is it so hard to understand what your options are, how to navigate, how to show up to a doctor's appointment and feel like you can actually engage in a conversation and make a shared decision together? Why are we not looking at whole body health? Why do I feel like the general contractor of my own fertility journey, trying to like pull all my clinicians together and get them rowing in the same direction? And just like had this thought in the back of my head, like this shouldn't be this hard. So I ended up actually sitting down with a longtime mentor of mine, Carol Lehman, who is co-founder and CEO of Exonify, a tech company in Waterloo. She's amazing. She is the kindest, most wonderful human being and like insanely successful. And I said to her, can we get together for dinner and wine? I'm kind of having this life crisis. I've just walked away from my fertility journey. Like, I'm having this like identity crisis of like, I don't know who I am anymore. Can we just sit down and have a conversation? And so we got together for wine and dinner, and I just had explained to her my fertility journey, the troubles that we went through, and how it's not that I didn't love what I was doing before, but after going through a level of trauma and grief and like trying to like rebuild what you thought your life would be, I just wasn't fulfilled anymore by what I was currently doing, and just needed to make the change over to something meaningful, like make something of this long journey that I was just on. So I had chatted with her about, as I said, the troubles, what I thought could happen, what I thought a solution would be. And basically, do you think I'm crazy here? Like, do you think there's actually an opportunity here? Do you think like I can do this? Does this even make sense? Am I grasping at straws trying to make meaning of my life? Or like, is this actually something? And she said to me, you know what? Sell your business. Go all in on this. The best advocate, the best person for a healthcare solution is often the patient, the person that's been through it. Sell your business, go all in, take it as far as you can. And when you need cash, I'm there. And so that's what I did. I sold my business, invested in my story and getting it started, took it as long as I can. And then she came through with her co-founder, Christine, and invested in our next stage. So that's a really long-winded way to say, here's what my story is. As I've kind of alluded to, like, we're really a care navigation, care management platform for fertility patients. We help them really solve for all the challenges I had. So it's your all-in-one place where you can have all your information in one place. You can share that information with your doctor. We've got a lot of AI-powered insights that we learn from you and what you're going through and what's going on with you. We cater education and insights and new research to your particular fertility journey. We help you make the most of, if you have any sort of benefits, we help you make the most of your benefits by trying to kind of cut through the noise and chaos and get to the clarity of what makes the most sense. So yeah, we're really a go-to fertility navigation platform. And then all of that is surrounded by an amazing concierge service. So users have access to fertility experts on call that can help them answer any questions they may have. We've a lot of opportunities as well to bridge kind of a gap with clinics, that once a patient leaves the appointments, then we're there to support them as well.
There's a lot in that answer, but one thing in particular that, it's great because there's a lot of questions we're going to get into today. But one thing you said in the beginning that I think is important for people to realize, because I've seen it a lot, is this is really hard on a relationship.
Yeah.
So with you and your partner, how did you navigate that? You'd said you felt like you lost yourself. And I would imagine, especially the women having the baby and your husband, if I'm in that situation, I feel a little bit helpless. How did you navigate that whole thing to make sure you both stayed on track? Because I think you made a good point. Your life that you thought was going to happen, maybe now that had changed. So how did you navigate that with a partner?
Yeah. So to be honest, not super well at first. You know, like you're figuring out as you go. I have a billion and one I wish I would have known, as in like find, you know, mental health support and therapy earlier on, right away almost, and find people that have been through it. And that's part of kind of what we're trying to do, is you don't have to start from scratch. Learn from the people that have been like, here's all the I wish I would have knowns, like you should do up front. But for Peter and I, it was really a matter of the male, if you're a husband and wife trying to have kid, whatever your partner situation is, it's egg and sperm. So the male is 50% of that equation, but the female going through it is really dealing with the majority of the burden of appointments, treatments, medications, and whatever. And so he took it in strides. It was my whole personality, to be honest. I stopped eating anything that brought me joy, all gluten, all dairy, all anything that was sugar, cut wine, cut any sort of thing that I really enjoy. And just, you know, a ton of pills, like supplements every single day. So rigid on myself that it almost created more stress. And I was just all in. Like, I couldn't do anything else. I had a strict bedtime. I was very, very much like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going all in. So that was really hard for Peter, because to the point where I'm sitting there being, I don't understand why you don't understand why I'm all in on this. Like, this is a lot and dealing with it. And he never did not understand, but there's just this inherent gap of both of us were trying to figure out how to communicate to each other. Neither of us were doing it particularly well. You're dealing with grief and trauma, really, every single treatment cycle that doesn't work, every single call that you're waiting to get, and you get a bad information or unknown or whatever, like it's very triggering. And so we just didn't realize in the moment that this level of stuff that you've been through is actually affecting you to your core. So I wish I would have known to have someone like almost me looking at me from the outside and being like, this is what's happening from a mental health perspective. But in addition to that, $100,000 after tax to spend on fertility treatments is no joke. Like the fertility process, I mean, the average cost to get to baby is $60,000. And that's an insane amount of money for any single person to try to like deal with. And even if you've got success earlier and it's not $60,000, even $10,000 is an unbelievable amount of money to try to come up with and spend for no guarantee. And so there's just so many aspects of it that really started to hit home. So we both individually go to therapy and then we really work on talking together, but I wish we would have done that earlier. We really, really struggled. And on the identity of, are you okay with not having kids? Is that what you want? You know, it's really, I'm the one with a lot of the challenge. And so I had a lot of struggle being like, am I holding you back? Let's have these discussions. There's so many layers to it that we don't talk enough about as patients going through this journey.
Jessica, first of all, thanks for sharing that. That's obviously somewhat personal. So I would love to hear a little bit about how Mysteria helps people navigate their journey. But before we get into that, I'm wondering, you know, you shared your story. Just from my own personal experience, I'm actually amazed at how many people talk about that they had to go through this as well.
Yep.
So if there's that many people that are talking about it, there's probably a whole lot of people that aren't talking about it. So you're in the industry now. Like, do you have some kind of idea of how many people are going through this journey?
Yeah. So the numbers are skyrocketing. Like a couple years ago, it was 1 in 6 couples dealing with infertility. And it's already like after a couple years, 1 in 5 people dealing with infertility. Particularly that number is known in the US and it's not dissimilar in Canada. And we don't talk about the fact that infertility is one thing. Like you medically are struggling to have a kid. Like that's a diagnosis, you're struggling. There's also a bunch of other reasons you may need fertility help and fertility treatments. Single parents by choice, same-sex couples, oncofertility and trying to preserve. You've got genetic issues. There's tons of reasons why you might need fertility treatments. And so there is not enough support out there. There's not enough experts out there for the number of people that need help. I think there's like 135 million people worldwide that are dealing with infertility, if that number is correct. Then that number skyrockets to like 500 million when you're looking at people that need fertility help.
Wow. Yeah, that is a little bit staggering. So I would love to hear about what you can do to help those people that are seeking fertility treatments and how you can help them with their journey.
So we're really focused on supporting the patient. So in the fertility world, there's a lot of amazing technology that focuses on helping the clinics and helping the doctors. And we're really focused in on how do we support the patient feeling like this journey is not so overwhelming, finding some level of control and not having to spend an insane amount of time researching. So quick stat I thought was absolutely staggering is the average time a fertility patient spends researching outside of appointments, outside of treatments, outside of life and work obligations is approximately 124 hours a year. Like that's 3 weeks of time. We are online Googling 3 a.m., obsessing over stuff. Like you're just trying to become basically as close as we can to our own fertility doctor and self-diagnose and trying to figure out how to advocate. So we're really trying to help that person do that. I know it starts with trying to actually understand what's going on with yourself and leveling up your education, your ability to understand the fertility process and your reproductive health system so that when you enter and you go to a doctor, you can have an informed conversation and you can really engage with them and properly articulate what's going on or what you're noticing or symptoms that are happening. So we bring all of a patient's health information in one place. So not just medical records, but all of their health data, any apps that they're using, and we try to pull that all together for them. Then we, based on what's going on with themselves, we look at their timeline, what they've done so far for fertility treatments. We then match them with very particular like micro modules. You know, you want to learn about the 101 of a menstrual cycle, great. Or if you want to really dive into a balanced translocation and its impact on recurrent pregnancy loss, you can really dive into that too. And we'll suggest modules that are useful for the patient. At the same time in the platform, it's kind of like your all-in-one place to manage your journey. So you can manage symptoms, you can keep track of concerns, you can look at diagnosis and all your medical records, you can look at and share that with your care team or care provider so that they can see everything all in one place as well. And then we've got our concierge team right now where they can then, if you grant access to the concierge, which is our fertility nurses, if you grant them access, then they can take a look at your information and answer any questions that you have in a very personalized way. We've got a lot more coming. Like we just launched not that long ago at all. And so that's the basis of it is if you've got all your stuff in one place, if you really understand your health and you understand your health history and you understand your symptoms and the fertility process, you can be such an ally to your care team and your doctor in trying to navigate this more efficiently. And then when you're not in the clinic, you have this amazing concierge team. And then the final piece of that is we've got a community of patients all in one area, and we connect like situation patients together so they can really talk to each other, learn from other people that have come before them on what they've done and personalize to their situation and support each other along the way.
So I'm glad you mentioned that last part because I did want to ask you about that. If you have someone who, you know, has like you been going through this for a while, they haven't had any success, maybe have a lot of questions, a lot of doubts, is there some support in place through what you provide for them to do that? I think you answered that a little bit, but maybe can you talk a little bit more about that?
So if I understand the question correctly, it's like if they're really struggling, can they go through you to get support?
Yeah, exactly.
So there's multiple ways they can go through us. We're not trying to be all things to all people. So we're not trying to replace the amazing mental health and therapists that are out there that specialize in fertility. We're just trying to bring those people so that you don't have to do the 2 hours or 3 hours of research and know who the right person is. And you can connect with them much easier. So a community of experts that are really dedicated to supporting patients. So that's one aspect of this like marketplace of this amazing like circle of community that are there to help you. The second is literally a peer community because the healthcare system is tough to navigate, both in Canada and the US. And the reality is we turn to each other. No matter what, even if you have the most amazing doctor, they're so busy. There's not enough time for doctors to personalize everything to the degree that they may want to. We turn to each other. And so we're trying to provide a safer community and a more moderated community for patients to connect. And we'd actually say, hey, Jeff, there is five people that are going through an IVF cycle the exact same as you, and they all have similar diagnosis or similar situations. Would you love to connect with them? And so we can kind of create these communities of people that actually are in similar situations and can like support each other. And again, as over time, learn from each other, learn from people that have gone through the process. So those are the main ways. And then as I talked about the concierge, and we have an amazing medical advisory board that if we need to, we can refer people to them for second opinions or get help. Literally, if this is for us, by us, if someone needs something, we're there. I talk to so many people. I've text with so many people. Like, this community is amazing.
You know, Jessica, I would say my average day, I speak with 3 to 4 chief people officers a day. And in fact, yesterday, one of the conversations, this topic came up. And I'm beginning to get those conversations or those questions that they're asking me. And now I'll ask you because that's your world. And obviously my world is the employee benefit space.
Yeah.
But with what your company's doing, and I think you've done a really good job of explaining what you do, but insert that into these organizations and the chief people officers that are saying to me, hey, this is something employees are asking for. How do you work with a company to understand, number one, what the costs are? Because as you said, I mean, potentially you could go out there and spend a lot of money. So what are those cost implications? But at the same time, how do we make that more accessible for these employees who are coming and saying, I need this in my benefits somehow?
So interestingly enough, we've had a couple of conversations very early on. Like we thought we're just going to go direct to consumer. We're going to talk to patients directly. And just like, that's really what the mode of we're going for us, by us, let's just talk to consumers. And then we had a couple chief people officer, like head of HR come to us and say, I know we need to look at fertility or family building benefits. I know this is important and we're having people chat about it, but I don't even know how to start helping. It's expensive. There's not a lot of options. The only real fertility benefits out there that are specialized in this really deal with companies that are 1,000 employees or more. Most of us are not in that situation. So like, how do we help people in this process? Right now, we're looking at giving people a $4,000 lifetime limit or whatever that looks like. I'm putting a number out there, but whatever that looks like. So typically the conversation I have is, I see my Storia as, and what we are for corporations right now is really like a wellness platform that helps either enhance the benefits that you're giving. Because at the end of the day, $4,000 is still $4,000. And that's amazing. And that does help a patient no matter what, like what the number is. But the average cycle, if you're doing an IVF cycle, like that doesn't even cover your medications, let alone the actual treatment. And so at the same time, fertility journeys are a huge time suck. And so you're removed from work a little bit, you're distracted, rightfully so. You're not able to like dive into it. You're researching at 3 a.m., showing up tired. This is just the reality. So what we've kind of really seen benefit from is being that place where they can remove the burden of self-advocacy, get clarity a lot easier, and try to find the best, most efficient path, right path for them to get to whatever their end goal is. And so a lot of that starts with diagnoses. Are my diagnoses correct? Do I understand all the treatment cycles out there? Is the doctor the right doctor for me in our situation? We are either like an introduction to fertility and family building benefits and a really great start and an immediate help for those going through it. And or, because we then cater to it, if there's some fertility benefits, a really great way to help them make the most of the benefits that they do have and remove the burden of the self-advocacy and the confusion and help them find clarity. So that's kind of the two areas, if that makes sense, that we're kind of seeing my story as being really useful in the benefit space. And we're getting a lot of really positive feedback on those two particularly.
Well, I'm glad we're chatting about it here because a large part of our audience fits into the VP of People and Chief People Officer. And what I've found over the course of a couple of years with this podcast is people are either connecting directly, so someone who has heard your podcast and reaches out to you directly. We've seen that happening from people around the world. And one of my favorite stories, the very first chief people officer, it led to a friendship, a collaboration. They're working back and forth from Stockholm, Sweden. And everybody knows I've told this story about Joanna. So it's such a great story. So I'm sure you're going to get a lot of people reaching out directly. Or we get someone will reach out to us and say, hey, really enjoyed what Jess was talking about. Can you be in touch with her? So I'm glad we're talking about it. We're getting some exposure. I'm sure you're going to get some connections out of this. And I think for that particular community, I think it's really important because, you know, the conversation yesterday, the discovery we had, the comment made to me was the standard benefits plan that's been in place forever. I mean, minor tweaks here and there. It's just not what the employees are asking for. There's four generations in the workplace now.
Yeah.
And what they're asking for is different. So I think we do need to start thinking outside of the box and see what's possible. Even if it doesn't today fit in the traditional benefits box, there's probably a fit. And I think a lot of people would be open to having the conversation. So
yeah,
we're definitely going to follow up with you because I'm curious to see what kind of feedback you get from this. But I'm sure you will have a lot of people reaching out to you.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. I really appreciate the time.
And we're not done yet. We got more questions for you.
Oh my God. Sorry. Yeah. Keep going.
That was actually a nice segue, Robin, because you said you talked about non-traditional. And Jessica, you shared your journey from the fertility side, and that's why you got in. I would love if you could maybe share a little bit of your journey as the founder of this company. Let me be blunt. You're a woman and you're in the tech industry. So those are two areas where statistically, it's very tough to get backing. That's just what statistics show.
Yeah.
And you're in an industry where, as a business, this is something that, like, I wouldn't know where else to go to do what you are doing. So I haven't seen it anywhere. So you've kind of got, let's say, the odds stacked against you. So can you talk a little bit about your journey in terms of, you know, scaling the business, building the business, getting funding, all those types of things?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we talk about fertility, it really fits into that femtech category, that like women's health funding category. And so femtech is massively underfunded. Most investors are men that don't necessarily understand the challenges of women's health. And again, fertility is really seen as a women's health issue, which is not correct. Men are 50% of the problem. Male infertility is skyrocketing in an issue, but that is a lot of the preconceived notions or perceptions with fertility. The other thing I'd say is a challenge is fertility is seen as a niche, despite it being a $40 billion market, despite it basically being an epidemic. It's an issue. It's not yet seen as an actual diagnosis, even from a government funding perspective for a business like ours. I was chatting with someone. They're like, yeah, like the government doesn't yet see fertility as a diagnosis. There's no real category for fertility help yet. So we've got a lot of work to do in the fertility community, specifically in femtech, in women's health, but in fertility, that's where kind of my focus is on, in educating and trying to like bring awareness to it, which is why telling stories and being honest and getting the word out there about this doesn't have to be a taboo topic is super important. From my journey, I honestly got really lucky. I will like 100% in the first stage of this business. Carol, she's such a well-known entrepreneur, but investor too. And she's just, her and Christine are just amazing. And so I was really lucky to have that relationship, have them kind of backing this from the start. So there's that. We're just about to start to kind of go down the road of fundraising and raising a seed funding round. And we'll see, like that might just be a bit of a different story. We'll see. I don't know, but I've heard it's just tough in women's health. It's tough raising venture capital in general. So we'll see on that one. I've been really lucky from a team perspective. You know, I learned from my first business that you got to surround yourself by the right people. You've got to really stick to vision, focus. There's a lot I've learned from doing it one time and then selling it. And I've really tried to bring that to this. And so I have the most amazing team. Everyone on the team, it has some form of connection to fertility. And they're all just so invested in the mission. Like we've had a number of people reach out, fertility doctors, we've had partners in the industry that want to collaborate, nonprofits like Fertility Matters Canada that do amazing advocacy, or support groups like Oasis, literally come out and be like, let's support each other. What can we do? We love this. This is needed, and vice versa on their end for what they do. So we've just been lucky in that regard, like in just surrounding ourselves with community. But to be honest, like actually one of the hardest things that I've had so far is I didn't realize how much talking to other patients brought up my own trauma and grief, how exhausting emotionally every day seems to be from the perspective of the feeling of listening to people's stories, trying to kind of like go as fast as we can to help. I did not think about that when I was first starting it. So that has been a challenge.
That's a perfect segue for me, actually, because I was just thinking about something. One of my best friends in the industry, he's been very successful, and I love sitting down with him because his energy is just off the charts. And of course, when I leave, my energy is off the charts. And he calls it running with the bulls, right? Just hard charging, building business. And again, he's been very successful. And like you just said, right, you're working hard. There's a lot of emotion involved, and it brings up things that you're thinking about. As you continue to build this business, and I know everyone wants success, you're going to go through a seed round, and I have no doubt your company will be successful. How do you balance that out with staying true to that passion and then looking after, we talked about mental health, physical health, relationship with your spouse. How do you balance that out to make sure, hey, all parts of my life are kind of working and not just one?
It's a really good question. And I find I'm still figuring that out. Like I am a 0 or 100 person. Like I am all in and like hyper focused on something. And I find the idea of work-life balance or work-life integration or whatever we want to call that, I'm still trying to master it.
You know, I'm listening to you and I could tell how passionate you are, but I can also tell exactly what you said. You're all in or you're all out, and you're all in. I can see that.
Yeah.
And I guess because of wisdom and things over the years, I've learned that, what's the saying, Al? If you say yes to something,
what are you saying no to?
Yeah. What are you saying no to?
Yeah.
So I've learned that there's certain things that even though I think it's great, I've learned to say no to that because I know it'll affect another part of my life. So I was just wondering at your point, and you had an honest answer. You're figuring it out.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are figuring it out. And you said something that's really important that I think everyone listening should look to. And it's surrounding yourself with community, with other successful people, with other people that you want to be like. Maybe there's some traits. I mean, it's clearly why Al hangs around me. Like Al, you know, just sees I'm so wonderful. And he thought, oh, absolutely. I just want to be wonderful too. So, and I'm rubbing off of him. I think I'm rubbing off on him. So it's working. No, but that was a perfect answer. I think that's the most authentic answer you could have given, that you're figuring it out and that's okay.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I showed up to this podcast today super pumped, Robin, because I remember our first conversation. I walked away with so much energy and I feel that way right now. And this morning I walked in, I was like, I have not slept. I just slept 2 hours last night. Lord, please help me. Like, where's the caffeine? Let's go. And so, you know what? It's this type of thing. It's this connection to people. It's this energy you get from other people. It's people that know what being in the trenches feel like and look like. And at the end of the day, it's that I think for this in particular, this is so deeply personal for me and so deeply intertwined with my everyday life. And just, I'm a different person than I was before infertility. My relationships have changed before infertility. And so that is something, all of that I'm still trying to navigate, but community, surrounding yourself with the right people, surrounding yourself with the right team, asking for help, saying, don't have it figured out. I think all of that stuff is really, really critical.
Well, we ask a question, or Al has a signature question, and you've kind of answered it through this entire episode, but we're going to ask it anyway, because maybe there's something different, another aspect of your life that you want to answer. And I think you'll enjoy the question because I think you think about things like this. So Al, I'll let you take it away.
Thanks, Robin. Before I do ask, I'm just going to say, Jessica, if this is you on 2 hours of sleep, I would love to have a conversation with you when you've had 8 hours of sleep, because this has been great.
That's why I'm just talking. thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. So yes, maybe your answer, you've already answered this, but at the same time, sometimes people do talk about things that maybe, you know, it's not part of their business, more on a personal aspect or whatever. So a society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit.
Love that.
So can you talk about any of those proverbial trees that you might be planting?
Okay. So one of them that I've talked about, infertility, and the fact that if things didn't work out for me, at least I can make it better for those that come after me, and kind of going in all in on that. And that's what I want my life's passion to be. But outside of just infertility, because as Joanne said, and Robin, thank you so much for that introduction. She's amazing. Is, you know, infertility is a symptom in some ways to, you know, a larger problem, like a reproductive health issue, a hormonal issue, or something else. And so it's really about not just in the moment of trying to get to that outcome of baby, but like, how do I get to that outcome of a better, healthier me? And so one of the things that I feel strongly about is this idea that if there's people in situations like myself, childless, not by choice, even if you get through all the things, it doesn't work out, you still deserve to be happy, healthy, and like find that new version of you. And so there's that. The other aspect of this that I find, I read a book, I don't know if anyone's ever heard of it, called Rebel Health by Susanna Fox. It is hands down the most amazing book, in my opinion, with related to a patient's voice in the healthcare system and a critical role they play in the healthcare system. And she perfectly articulated what I saw to be like the larger vision for my story, that like there's no way I could articulate it as best as she did. And what she said was that patients know our bodies the best. We're always going to have to be our own advocate. We have to find ways to solve our problems so we get creative. We know what it's like living with the condition. And so I really hope that part of what this process is inspire other patients to get involved in trying to improve the healthcare system and give feedback and be patient entrepreneurs. And at the same time, that patient integrated care or patient led care and a bridging the gap between an overwhelmed and overburdened doctor and an informed patient, that is really such a powerful agent of change, is the two coming together and patients being seen as allies to care teams. And I think that through my story and the fact that you can kind of take control of your care and understand what's going on and leveling up your education, I hope we plant a seed for more companies to do the same, for, you know, my story to partner with other people and collaborate to do this in other spaces too. One final thing on a personal note too is my parents gave a lot to me to like be able to help me. You know, I played competitive soccer. They like just the sacrifices that they made for me earlier on to kind of learn, do what I'm doing now. Even my husband and starting this, he's taking care of all of our costs. And so it's like build a legacy for my family. You just like leave something behind for the fertility world, just something there that the late nights, the early mornings, the lack of sleep, the stress is actually gonna give back to people, and almost a regenerating cycle of like, we've created this community of support in every aspect of a way. And I can live my life with purpose, really, is I guess what I'm trying to say.
Perfect. Well, thanks for that. And it's interesting that you talked about everyone advocating for their own health, and maybe another day at another time, another conversation. My wife went through that last year, and not to do with fertility, but another situation. And had she not done what she eventually did, things could have turned out very differently. So that hits home.
Yeah.
In terms of advocating for yourself, we kind of put doctors on a pedestal. I mean, I think that's maybe we expect them to always be right. And just like you say, they are overworked. They can't know us as well as we know us. So it's up to us to be able to stand up and advocate for ourselves. So I'm glad you shared that.
Yeah, thanks.
So Al, how did I do with picking out a guest for today? Because you weren't on the audition call.
It was wonderful.
Did I do a good job? I did a good job, didn't I?
You did a great job.
Well, every time, Jessica, this is the second time. I mean, it's such an enjoyable time chatting with you. I love your passion. Again, I'm going to leave with more energy than I had. And surprising, you're only 2 hours sleep. I can't wait till there's
yeah,
we get you for four even. Like, my goodness, it'll be double. If people want to reach out to you, what's the best way if they want to find out more about what you're doing or your company in general? What's the best way to reach out?
Yeah, I'd love to chat. So my email is jessica@mystoria.com. My phone number, because anyone can text, call. Even if you're a fertility patient going through this and listening, I'm here, is 519-497-6595. LinkedIn, Instagram, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm here. Literally, this is my whole life. And I am here to chat about how I can support your employees or just support you or like whatever that is. This is what we do.
Awesome. Well, that does it for today's episode. We really enjoyed this conversation. As always, we hope you did too. I'm sure you did, though.
It was such a pleasure, as always. Yeah, thank you so much, Robin and Al.
No problem. If you have any questions for Al or myself, please feel free to give us a call or by joining the conversation on LinkedIn. As we've seen here today, success leaves clues, my friends. We'll see you next time.